welcome to another episode of Quest Community Vibration, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best. Today's program will delve into the civil rights movement and one icon that represents that, mental health, rhythm and blues artist James Brown, and of course, there's always some hip-hop. We're going to talk about revival from a different point of view, and most definitely, we're always on a theme of human rights. Student host Walter Pierce presents two powerful segments of Diamonds and Definitions, and he'll feature Ella Baker and Define the Word Renaissance. Mental health will be defined for our Chain of Events segment, and musically, our curtains will learn more about James Brown. So sit back, relax, and keep it locked. As a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meaning that we can comprehend like definitions. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain and see a different perspective of our contribution, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So thank you again for joining us to hear more information concerning our diaspora. And without any further ado, I'd like for our student host to come on aboard and introduce yourself and take it away.
Body, welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 WSOU. And to start off the show, like said earlier, we're going to start with the diamond. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self. pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for my diamond today, her name is Ella Baker. And you see, Ella Baker was born in 1903 in Norfolk, Virginia, and was one of the most influential figures in the mid-20th century civil rights movement. Inspired by her grandmother, a former slave, she took her role in her community and the fight for social justice very seriously. She's been an integral part of some of the foremost civil rights organizations this country has known, and much of her work is still used as principal tactics for grassroots activism today. Baker graduated as valedictorian from Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina, in 1927. In 1930, she joined the Young Negroes Cooperative League and worked to develop Black economic power through collective networks. She soon became the national director. Around 1940, she joined the NAACP, swiftly rising through the ranks. For 15 plus years, she worked on the front lines for the nation's most prominent civil rights organization at the time. She pushed the NAACP to decentralize its leadership structure and to aid its membership in more activist campaigns and the local level, believing that its strength formed from the bottom up and not the top down. In 1957, Baker moved to Atlanta to help create a regional grassroots movement from the Monumentum created by the Montgomery bus boycott. And she worked alongside Dr. King to help form the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, where she worked to register Black voters across the Jim Crow South in the 1958 and 1960 elections. In 1960, she left the SCLC to work alongside student organizers who orchestrated sit-ins across the South. Baker's belief was that youth were a key part of the civil rights movement, so she helped form the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, mentoring future leaders like Julian Bond, Stokely Carmichael, and John Lewis. Until her death in 1986, Baker continued to lend her voice and activism to various issues, from equal rights to justice reform. She touched almost every aspect of the civil rights movement, believing that grassroots efforts were the most effective way to create change. To this day, her organization strategies are woven throughout the modern justice reform movement. Her work continues to inspire us to build from the ground up. Whether we're building capacity for organizations on the ground, fighting felony disenfranchisement, or for equal treatment under the law, Ella Baker is one of the brightest beacons guiding our path to changing the system. And again, thank you for listening. And just to sum it up, this is an unsung hero of the civil rights movement that, you know, is not given a lot of recognition, and it should be. She worked alongside and mentored a lot of prominent people in our history that we hear about a lot. So, you know, without her, you know, the movement and the progression wouldn't be as huge. You know, she worked alongside a lot of big people in our African American community. And again, thank you for listening. And this is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU. Thank you.
Mr. Harris, I'm going to have to pull you in. What was the name of that song and who was it by?
Oh, that was E-Funk by Roy Ayers. And if you remember, that was when the Kings of Comedy was coming out, when Bernie Mac came out on stage, that was the song he played.
Oh, E-Funk. Wow. Now, what's that instrument that Roy Ayers played? What is it called?
It's called a vibraphone.
He's been
on that for years. He's been in the music business for over 50 years.
I'm going to play another song, and then we're going to come back to our student host. I want to get you to help me to set this up. Now, what I have here is the sophisticated, help me out, save me.
Sophisticated Hippie?
That's
by Horace Silver. And it was a modern remix of the classic Horace Silver cut.
Okay, so we're going to take a listen to that real fast and come back to student host Walter Pierce. Tune to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Good morning, Walter. What do you have on tap for us next?
Yeah, good morning again. And, you know, we're 22 minutes into the show, and it's time for definitions. And definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And, you know, my definition, I said earlier, is Renaissance. And, you know, Renaissance, as I looked up and seen on, you know, Merriam-Webster Dictionary and on the Google definition it gives you, it talks about the revival of art and literature under the influence of the classical models of the 14th and 16th centuries. But there's also other definitions, which is a noun, and it's the culture and style of art and architecture developed during the Renaissance and a revival of or renewed interest in something. And that last definition is what's going to really apply, because we're going to be talking about the Harlem Renaissance. And as I remember on last show, when I discussed economy and how African Americans in this country were so down in poverty compared to white Americans, not poverty, but economically they weren't as successful. And, you know, I stated some reasons, but there was also times in our history where this is good. It is a good in our economy, and we were actually doing well. And this was in Harlem where it really got popularized. It was other parts of the country as well, but in Harlem, it was really, it really gained its notoriety. And this was in the 1920s. And, you know, it was because of the great migration of a lot of people coming from the South to the North into Harlem. And this is just the place where you started to see a lot of art, a lot of music, you know, poetry, a lot of it really taking off. And also Black-owned businesses as well, which is very important for us. And, you know, the Harlem Renaissance, I have a little article here, and it basically says that the Harlem Renaissance encompassed poetry and prose, painting and sculpture, jazz and swing, opera and dance. What united these diverse art forms was their realistic presentation of what it meant to be Black in America, what writer Langston Hughes called an expression of our individual dark-skinned selves, as well as a new militancy in asserting their civil and political rights. Amongst the Renaissance's most significant contributors were intellectuals W.E.B. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Sybil Briggs, and Walter Francis White. Electrifying performances, Josephine Baker and Paul Robeson, and writers and poet Zora Neale Hurston, Effie Lee Newsom, Colin, and visual artist Aaron Douglas, Augustus Savage, and an extraordinary list of legendary musicians, which included people like Louis Armstrong, Count Basie, Cab Calloway, Duke Ellington, Billie Holiday, and much more. You know, so a lot of those names of people who listen to this and tune into this show, you know, you know a lot of those people. You know, they really benefited from this Harlem Renaissance, which is our culture was renewed, you know, it was so celebrated. And this was a point where we were doing so well. And then sadly, you know, I don't really want to talk about the bad part about it, but, you know, towards the end of the decade, you know, because of the Great Depression, a lot of our businesses failed, and, you know, the Renaissance really started to fade away. And, you know, that's just really been the history, I guess you could say, of when African Americans do well in this country. So it's always something at the end of it where we just get the bad end of it, and something always goes wrong, and then everything just goes away. All of our, you know, success, you know, starts to fade away. You know, there's other examples of this as well, but, you know, sadly, it started to fade away. But, you know, even throughout time, you know, we still go back to these roots and we still celebrate our history and celebrate our culture so well known. And, you know, it's becoming where other people, other races are, you know, are taking a lot of interest in our culture and following what we built. So, you know, that's, you know, that shows the influence we really have in this world. And again, thank you for tuning into this segment of Definitions. And again, you are listening to 89.5 WSOU from the campus on CN Hall in South Orange. And pass it to you, Mr. Bay, for hopefully some good music.
Ready? Ready, everybody? You ever ready?
Yeah.
My God, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody over there.
Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody over there.
Get involved.
Everybody over there. I'm wrong. One time. Everybody over there.
Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Hit me.
Hit me.
All right.
now it's time for our segment of Chain of Events. It's an interpretation of news as it affects the community from the alloys of Newark. A report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. You see, Chains of Events reveals an interpretation of one event to another so that you, the Quest listener, will know what's happening. Now, each week, what I've done with the segment of Chains of Events was actually interjected mental health. You see, mental health is that elephant in the room, especially in our community, that no one wants to face or even talk about. But there are a lot of contributing factors. But more importantly, each and every one of us and our mental health is so important. Because when you don't pay attention to your mental health, it can be detrimental to your overall health. Now, the definition of mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It actually affects how we think, feel, and act. It also helps determine how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices. You see, mental health is important at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence through adulthood. Now, the term mental slavery was actually a coin by Marcus Garvey. Now, the reason why I bring that up, because there is a definite relationship to mental health and mental slavery for African Americans that have been in America under an oppressive system. And as I look and dwell into it, I have called upon fables to give an example of mental slavery and try to give an antidote, a solution to some of these problems. The bottom line is, don't let nothing or anyone hold you back. I did the fable of the elephant and the string. I did also the fable of the eagle in the chicken coop. But today I refer to the shark in the shark tank. What better analogy than to explain a shark in a tank? You see, if you put a shark in a tank as a baby, it'll only grow as far will allow. In other words, the environment will limit its growth. And so some of us have had a stunted growth in our life. And as a result, that can cause on stress in an oppressive system. So what's the point? What is the remedy? What would we do? Change your environment. Dare to fly. Take one step forward and don't look back. Be all that you can be. And that's my segment of Chain of Events. Now, as I continue, I want to bring in Tanisha, because we've passed our halfway point of the program, and just give a comment or a question to the program so far. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It was very impactful, especially when you mentioned about the shark and the shark tank, of how sometimes, like you said, in life we get stunted. But I guess the main key is to notice it and to realize and recognize it, so you could be able to create that change that you need to be able to be better. And I think that was connection with everyone that was spoken of today, and especially within the definitions, that that they had perseverance and they kept they believed in themselves and they persevered through all their circumstances. And it's about being enlightened, and especially during the Renaissance, that even though it was a struggle, they never gave up. And through the struggle, they created so many beautiful masterpieces and different creations.
Okay. Christopher Lynch, I know you're here with us. Good morning. Do you have a question or a comment as it pertains to Chains of Events, diamonds, or definitions so far?
Yes. So good morning, everybody. The Renaissance is pretty interesting to me. That's where the art in literature began like groundbreaking definition for that era of classical art and things of that nature. I set the tone for art for these days. But the way it was explained was pretty profound. And I think it's something that needs to be touched on a lot more these days because people lose their appreciation for art and literature. And that analogy of the shark and the shark tank is pretty awesome too. I kind of see it like you limit the growth of someone with the surrounding era, the environment. You know, if the surrounding environment isn't habitable enough or big enough, it will stunt the growth of someone. So you want to put that shark inside of a the ocean, you know, and it has unlimited growth and potential.
Okay. I'm going to get Mr. Harris, I'm going to get you to chime in. Do you have a question or a comment as it pertains to the mental health segment or Walter's invoking of Duke Ellington, Nora Zill Hurston? What is your take?
Well, actually, all these things, there's a common thread that runs through all of these. And when you talk about a renaissance, you're really talking about a continuation of what was to what is. And when we were talking about the Harlem Renaissance, we're only talking like 50, 60 years out of slavery, where most of our people couldn't read, couldn't do anything supposedly musically or intellectually. And then we kind of showed, so it really wasn't a renaissance, it was a continuation of what we were doing to what we can do and what we need to be doing in the future. And, you know, and that was the connection I saw with all that. And with the shark, it's like the brother was just saying that we have to understand that we limit ourselves to whatever we can do. And we need to open up and understand that we can expand as far as the universe. And that's our only limitation.
Okay. I'm going to get, we have callers on the line. I'm going to get you guys to chime in on today's topic. But right now, we're going to continue musically into the quest.
Put your bad
vibration.
Bad loud. Take your eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit.
Okay, Mr. Harris, someone told me that you were one of the young voices in the call and response of this song, Say It Loud and Black and I'm Proud. Like when you were a child, you were like recruited to be part of the James Brown song. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I would kind of consider my source when you hear stuff like that. But I do remember when that cut came out. And it was right after Martin Luther King was assassinated. He wrote that song like a day or two after that. You know, that's when he started getting rid of his process and started going to afros and stuff like that, because he felt that it was important for people to understand that I am black and I'm proud.
How about that? We're going to use this as a transition for you to take it away with your segment of curtains.
Okay, curtains. As I see it, it's an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. Like many artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community, but what benefits has a community gained from those artists? Today, we pull the curtain back on someone who is not only a special artist to me, but to generations of musicians and fans. Every night, this brother went on stage, and at some point, he would drop to his knees, stare at the crowd, and ask the audience for participation and permission to scream. With their encouragement, he would let out one of the fiercest sounds in the history of pop music, a sound that would define him as much as the hard-boiled music that swirled around him. And of course, I'm talking about Mr. James Brown. He was the complete package. He was a musical innovator, a dancer, a singer, a political activist, a band leader, a songwriter, and a pianist. He was also a peacekeeper and agitator. He was thanked and praised by presidents and even struck up a friendship with Herbert Humphrey, who was the nation's vice president in the late 60s. Yet, he refused to do anything that would compromise his commitment to being a strong representative for black people worldwide. Even his nicknames alone stood the test of time. The Godfather of Soul, the hardest working man in show business, Mr. Dynamite, Soul Brother Number One. His music has influenced such artists as Prince, George Clinton, David Bowie, amongst many, many others. He's even seen in the dance steps of Michael Jackson and echoed throughout the socially conscious rap of the 1980s. He landed 99 singles on the R&B Top 40 between 1956 and 1993. 17 of them were number one hits. His 1963 album Live at the Apollo spent 66 weeks on the album chart. That's a record for any R&B album, and became an icon for all of the live albums that will follow. During the Johnson administration, Brown was ramping up his involvement in political and social causes, working with then Vice President Hubert Humphrey on jobs for the black community and later a stay-in-school program, not to mention becoming one of the first black entertainers to perform for the troops in Vietnam. While riots and looting plagued 100 other cities after the death of Martin Luther King, Boston was peaceful because of the intervention of James Brown. He would make similar public announcements of peace in Washington, D.C. and Rochester, New York. This work garnered thank yous from the then President Johnson. But the music business can be a tough one, and in 1970, the Fabulous Flames, his original group, all quit at once. The day after that, his lifelong friend Bobby Berg grabbed the Cincinnati band, led by Bootsy and Catfish Collins, called the Pacemakers, changed their names to the JBs, and put them on a plane to Columbus, Georgia, where they walked on stage and became James Brown's backup band. Although their stay with the band was short, the JBs backed Brown on recordings of Get Up, I Feel Like a Sex Machine, Super Bad, and Soul Power. Along with many other business ventures, Brown founded his first record label called Try Me Records in 1963, named after his 1958 R&B hit. Try Me Records released a handful of singles by performers and groups associated with the James Brown Review, and a female vocalist named Tammy Montgomery, who went on to record for Motown as Tammy Terrell. He had a Brownstone Records. He started in 1970, was very short-lived. But People's Records, his most successful and prolific album, record label, excuse me, was founded in 1971. And like his record companies before, the people he used in the recordings were performers that associated with him in his James Brown Review, including Lynn Collins, Bobby Bird, and the JBs. It also recorded some musicians that didn't regularly perform with James Brown. And if you heard any old James Brown records, he made sure he was in every record, whether playing instrument or doing background vocals. Initially, King Records, his first record label, acquired by Polydor Records when he was signed to that label. And unlike James' previous labels, it was commercially successful for a while. It released the number one charting single, including the number one R&B hit, Doing It to Death. People's Records eventually folded in 1976, and at the same time, the JBs broke up. All right, but whatever people say about James Brown, pro or con, they can't deny that he changed the sound of R&B, funk, and popular music forever. Everything was on the one after that. We'll close today's curtain like James used to say, hit me with another funky joint if you please.
No, we need it so proud. We got to have it so proud. No, we want it so proud. Got to have it so proud. Give it to me so proud. We need it so proud. We want it so proud. Got to have it so proud. I want to get funky again. If I get there, I've got to win. We need some.
Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. I want to bring my student host, Walter Pierce. And Walter, you being the youngest person in the room, I want you to have an opportunity to share any questions or comments about today's broadcast.
You know, I really enjoyed and liked what everybody did and how, you know, we was able to go back in our history and able to always, you know, find good parts in our history, because that's what the really important thing is, you know, finding the parts in our history which uplift us and show the good in us. You know, it's always, we always hear about the evil, you know, the bad things that happen to us, but, you know, we also have some very good things to happen, so it's always good to talk about that.
All right. Now, I'm going to take this opportunity to bring Calvin in, and as usual, Calvin, it's the same question. Do you have a question or a comment about today's show?
Only a comment. Again, always great show, great information. Love the segment on James Brown. Love the segments on the Renaissance. Keep up the good work, guys.
Okay, thank you. Chris, what did you actually know about James Brown, and did you learn something new here? Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, man, I'm old enough to know that James Brown is the king of soul, man. And good music selection today. I was over here rocking in my head, listening in. The information was great as always, and it was always—it's always good to chime in, you know, see where everybody's understanding is at, and increase the understanding as well.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're gonna get Tanisha to come in and a question or comment.
I guess it'll be a comment. Definitely a powerful segment today. And we just got to keep creating what we want and what we see, and don't give up.
Okay. We have another listener on the line. Val, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And as always, thank you for highlighting and mentioning our glorious history. The New Negro Movement, or as we better know it, the Harlem Renaissance, was an important, important time period in our lives. And although our people, you know, went through so much and struggled so much, you know, it was a lot of good that came out of that movement. And Ella Baker, when we go on, you know, Walter mentioned her early in the show, she was also very necessary and important in our history. And, of course, Mr. James Brown. So thank you for always, you know, informing us and keeping in our minds all of the great people that came before us.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for being with us. Mr. Harris, final words. So many famous other artists and musicians came out of James Brown's band. Maceo, Bootsy. Talk to me, man.
Yeah, well, he was a definite taskmaster, and understood that practice and rehearsal was the most important part of being the tightest band in America.
Mm.
And everybody who went through that knows that, and they've taken.
Yeah, I'm having reflections of the movie. Walter, take us away. Close us out.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. You know, we're live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And our motto goes, Quest Youth Radio is the best youth
radio. Okay.
Yep.
And thank you. It's been another edition and a pleasure. And I'm going to leave you with another legend, Quincy Jones. and Bossa Nova.
Yes, sir.
Until next week.
See, what we're about to do right now is pay tribute to a living legend. So I brought Naturally 7 with me to do the beat. And I brought DCP's own Rudy Current. And me, I go by the name of Ludacris, right? And there's a lot of people out there claiming that they bosses, but I'm here to let you know the true boss is back. Let's go!
He's back on the line. The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude coming back in motion.
He keep a flock of PYTs with him.
Yeah.
And they all exotic, erotic, come in groups of threes with him.
Yeah.
Pimpin' all over the world, and I really get it hot when I'm overseas with him.
Hey.
And when we in Bel Air at the castle, I shoot the breeze with him. Publishing checks is coming even when he stay in bed.
Hey.
So we eating at the master table, and we breaking bread. New artists steady bossing up, but I tell them why I'm Baba. They can't come close to life.